The Garfield County Coroner has identified the man who died in an ATV rollover Saturday near Rifle as Todd Selly, 54, of Glenwood Springs. According to a press release, Selly was crossing a snowbank on JQS Road and rolled several hundred yards down an embankment. He was wearing a seatbelt but not a helmet and died at the scene. Selly had a blood alcohol content of 0.111. The Democratic House passed the state budget Monday, as Benta Berkland reports. It now heads to a conference committee to work out differences in the versions passed by both chambers.
The budget covers all state spending, including schools, corrections, health care, and transportation. The Joint Budget Committee crafts the bill. Democrat Millie Hamner of Dillon is the vice chair.
It's even better today than it was when it first came over to the House because all of you had a chance to debate it and amend it.
Nearly 30 amendments were added during the floor debate. Budget Committee member Representative Bob Rankin of Carbondale was the only Republican to support it.
And I want to urge the minority members in this chamber that it really is okay to vote for the budget. It's a good budget.
But Republicans argue it was too bloated. And in the end, many of the changes lawmakers made will likely be stripped off in the conference committee. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
This week's Eye on Crime takes a look at Carbondale police activity in March.
Between February 24th and March 30th, Carbondale police made 22 arrests. According to police logs, 9 were for DUI. 3 outstanding warrant arrests included a 42-year-old Carbondale man who was also arrested for third-degree assault and domestic violence. Officers received 2 sexual assault reports, a criminal mischief complaint, 4 harassment complaints, 1 trespass report, and 1 missing person report. On February 28th, an officer responded to a hit-and-run accident outside the Roaring Fork Brewing Company. The driver in the so-called run vehicle returned to the scene and was cited for careless driving. Pets were also peevish last month. Police received a vicious cat report, a vicious dog report, and calls about dogs off-leash near Latigo Loop and Surrey Road. Officers observed the dogs in question and cited the owners. In mid-March, officers responded to a woman yelling at Town Hall near the parking lot next to the Rio Grande Trail. Apparently, 2 dogs were at large and aggressively pursuing the woman and her dog. A car and a house were egged last month, a bicycle was stolen, an iPhone went missing, cars and mailboxes on Dakota Court were vandalized. Vandals also threw rocks through the front windows of a house on Ivy Lane. That's it for KDNK's Eye on Crime. I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
The Colorado State Patrol and local law enforcement will begin cracking down on the move-over law tomorrow. The state law requires motorists to yield the right-of-way to stationary emergency vehicles, tow vehicles, and construction maintenance vehicles when their warning lights are flashing. Motorists must either move over one lane or slow down when that's not possible, or face a minimum $150 fine and a ticket worth 4 points. Colorado businesses face higher minimum wage requirements since voters approved Amendment 70. But proponents hope this will lead to improved physical and mental health. Eric Galatis has more.
Last year, Coloradans voted to increase the state's minimum wage up 99 cents to $9.30 an hour starting in January, and the impact is already being felt by workers and businesses. Advocates are hopeful it will lead to improved health outcomes and say a raise is long overdue as the cost of living continues to rise. Daniel Gilliland, who owns a meatpacking store with his wife on the Western Slope, sees things a little differently. He says many Coloradans just don't understand the true costs of operating a small business.
The biggest changes are going to be less hours, especially overtime hours. Not only that, the cost of our materials from our suppliers will go up from the shipping end to the product end.
Under the new law, the minimum wage will reach $12 an hour by 2020 and increase with inflation after that. Proponents point to studies, including one by UCLA, that show higher wages can improve physical and mental health through better nutrition, more leisure time, physical activity, and reductions in risky behaviors such as smoking. Nearly 500,000 Coloradans will see wage hikes with the new law, including 142,000 parents. Jack Strauss, co-author of a University of Denver minimum wage study, agrees that it presents challenges for some small businesses, but says overall the gains are clear.
Our study shows, and what other economists have shown, for every person who loses a job, there's at least 10, sometimes up to 20 times more people who gain from higher minimum wages.
While business groups frequently warn about job losses, Strauss notes that raising the wage floor is good for local economies and especially for low-income workers.
Every dollar they make, they plow it back into the community, which often then implies further indirect job creation. So that's what you don't hear about.
$12 an hour still isn't enough to get by in some areas of Colorado. The Center for Economic and Policy Research says if minimum wage hikes had kept up with increases in worker productivity since 1968, when the wage was linked to the Consumer Price Index, minimum hourly pay would have topped $21 by 2012. For KDNK, I'm Eric Galatis.
Springtime.
This story was originally reported by Michael Booth for the Colorado Trust. Find out more at coloradotrust.org.
Springtime means lambing season at Parker Pastures in Gunnison, and 14-year-old Chloe Parker is in charge. Rocky Mountain Community Radio member station KBUT sent reporter Christopher Biddle to see how things are going.
Kelly Parker and her husband Bill founded Parker Pastures in 2006. They raise grass-fed beef and lamb. I visited them last week at their headquarters on the Van Tile Ranch, a 400-acre plot minutes from the heart of Gunnison.
Hi.
Hi. Hey,
Chris, nice to meet you.
Recently, they've taken on a partner to head up their lambing operation, their 14-year-old daughter, Chloe.
I'm Chloe Parker, partners with Parker Pastures, but owner of Shepherd's Ranch.
Chloe is by no means the stereotype of an American teenager. She wears a bonnet and clutches a weeks-old border collie as I greet her.
This is Una. I just got her yesterday. She's going to be the sheep herder for me, and then she'll hopefully herd some cows. And then we have Bruce, which is our guard dog. He is an Akbash. And then we have Frost, which is just kind of like our family dog. And then we have Junior, which is an older border collie.
Oh, what's that beast over there?
So that is our llama, Tina Fey. We have her to protect the sheep. We also have the guard dog, Bruce.
Tina Fey?
Yes.
Where did that come from?
She came with the name, so.
We thought she was going to be a little bit of a guardian. She has turned out not to be a very good guardian.
Oh, really?
But she's a real character on the ranch, so she's sticking around.
That's Chloe's mother, Kelly Parker, who says her family practices holistic management, a farming philosophy that emphasizes rotational grazing in an attempt to mimic how herds of bison, elk, and deer once grazed this landscape. Chloe is responsible for a primary flock of about 100 ewes, as well as this season's round of lambs, an additional 120.
And we still have like 20 more ewes, which is a mother sheep to lamb. We raise haired sheep, which are Dorpers, Katahdins, and Royal Whites. Haired sheep is for meat instead of wool, so the sheep will shed their wool in like the early summer. We do have a couple Icelandics just for fun, but those are for wool.
For the sake of a well-rounded radio piece on sheep farming, I asked Chloe for help getting an interview with one of her ewes.
How close do you think they'll let us get to them?
No, they let me get pretty close, but that's because they kind of know me. We can try.
Do you think we could try?
We approach one of her Icelandic sheep, whose dark winter coat is matted with hay, horns curling out of her forehead, a healthy newborn lamb standing in front of her.
Hi, Mama.
Well, if they're happy, they don't say much.
Yeah.
If they're happy, they don't say much, says Kelly.
I like doing what my passion is, and I like using my sheep to improve the land with holistic management.
Do you have a favorite sheep?
I really like my Icelandics, Christmas and Ice. And then I also have one Dorper that I've had for I don't know how long, but she's had like 15 lambs, and she's amazing. And she's my favorite sheep. Her name's Two.
Does she have a distinct personality?
Her lambs always seem to try to find trouble wherever they go. But she's a good sheep, but she's a little naughty. But she's a great mom.
Una wants to say something into the mic.
Want to say something into
She wants to go chase the sheep.
Yeah, I don't blame her.
For KBUT, I'm Christopher Biddle.
She's kind of bashful.